Welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour. If you haven't heard, the Dubs have knocked Limerick out of the All-Ireland Hurling Championship. Yes, you have heard that correct. The Dubs have beaten Limerick. We'll try to get some audio from Croke Park on that one a little bit later, because we have our own matters to attend to in the stadium. First of all, that is, of course, the turn of the Cork footballers, who now take on Dublin. That one thrown in 15 minutes time. So to talk to me about that one, earlier today I caught up with Ger McCarthy before the Dublin and Limerick game. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by our very own Ger McCarthy, who's up in Croke Park for us. Ger, how are we getting on in here? What's the atmosphere like around Croke Park, albeit you're very early at the moment of the time of regarding?
Atmosphere is building nicely, Dan. A lot of Limerick fans here, obviously, a bit earlier than usual.
Don't get me started on them.
Oh, sorry. the Limerick fans are here early and they're asking for you, Dan. It being a doubleheader, I think a lot of fans, and even on the road up this morning from Cork, you could see the flags from both Limerick and Cork flying under the cars. Huge crowd on the way up, and expected to be attending, obviously, two very big games. But also you're going to have the Dublin team well represented, both the hurlers and footballers should have a huge support as well. Right now, everybody's just basking in the sunshine because it's a balmy 22-23 degrees. Is a small bit of a breeze and was down pitch side just earlier on, and who knows what it'll be like later on this evening, but it looks like it's going to be dry. It looks like conditions are going to be perfect, and man oh man is the pitch in some condition. It is absolutely immaculate, so kudos to the Croke Park ground staff, because they've done a fantastic job. No excuses today, Dan, for any of the four teams. They got the perfect conditions, big atmosphere, and a pitch to match.
Hopefully Dublin do the job on Limerick anyway, we will say that. But look, looking ahead to the Cork game, 6:15, Ger, how do you see this one going?
The form book suggests Dublin are going to win this, and the form book is because Dublin have played Cork in the All-Ireland knockout stages three times since 2013, and won in 2013, 2019 and 2022. So they have history behind them in Dublin. They're obviously playing particularly well again this season. They have a galaxy of stars in that team. We could start naming out the whole team, but we've got to start with number 14. That's Conor Callaghan. He's having a fantastic all-star year. There's points and goals throughout that forward line. Paddy Small, Cormac Costello, Sean Bugler. And from Cork's point of view, according to Christy O'Connor in the Irish Examiner this morning, Dan, 2013 was the last time the Cork senior footballers won a competitive game at Croke Park, and that was against Galway in an All-Ireland qualifier. So history is certainly against John Cleary and the Rebels, but we were in Portlaoise only last week to witness the Cork senior footballers put in their best performance of the season, defeat Roscommon. Real gutsy, fantastic defensive effort, but also up front plenty of excellent scores. They have no fear of Dublin, this Cork team, I can tell you that for absolute certainty. A lot of respect for them, obviously, with Desi Farrell and what Dublin have achieved down through the years. They've got that all-time greatest goalkeeper in between the sticks back again with his kick-out, Stephen Cluxton. But look, it's a free punch for Cork. They've got the boost and the bonus of coming off a morale-boosting victory over Roscommon. We've got a lot of good players. We've got a settled team, which I think is huge. Naming the same team again, I think, for the third, if not the fourth game in a row. And I think Cork are going to have a real go today. I don't know if it's going to be a spectacle as such, even with the new rules. I think Cork will defend deep and look to hit Dublin on the break. That's worked well for them in the past. But on paper, Dublin are the favourites. But, you know, in this All-Ireland Championship in both hurling and football, we're due a couple of shocks, so who knows what will happen.
I think we are. Is there a bit of a confidence, sir, in the Cork side and the vibe around Cork and this football team since last week?
I think there's a bit of a swagger. I don't know about confidence. I mean, look, one win, you know, it doesn't make a season, but as you know, Dan, and we cover the Cork senior footballers extensively since the start of the year, negativity surrounds them all the time. The naysayers are constantly saying Cork football is no good. They're the ones that don't go to the matches. The ones that do, the hardcore, know that they've seen a team that's just lacking consistency, Dan. They don't. One or two good results are followed by a disappointing one, and that's no good if you want to get out of Division 2, first of all, but also if you want to progress beyond the latter stages of the All-Ireland Championship. Like, to be fair to Cork, to John Cleary, they got out of a group that contained Kerry, Meath and Roscommon. That was not an easy group at all. And look at Meath. Look what Meath did to Kerry. So to come out of that group, I think in itself, where we are, and I think when I say where we are, I think Cork remain a top eight football team in the country. I don't think we're All-Ireland champions this year. I don't know. I'd be very surprised. A lot of people would. But the core of the team that's been with John Cleary for the 2.5-3 years that he's there now, he has a settled team coming into this game. They're injury-free. there's a bit of a swagger. There's just a confidence boost more than anything coming out of Portlaoise the last day and beating Roscommon. That was the thing. Not so much relief, but just a boost that everything they've been working towards, everything they've been trying that didn't work against me, that didn't work against Kerry, came to fruition against Roscommon. It's going to require a full 60-minute plus performance tonight down against Dublin. It's going to require a lights-out display from the full forward line, Mark Cronin, Brian Hurley, Chris O'Jones. A lot of things will have to go Cork's way, but stranger things have happened. On paper, it's Dublin, but in a one-off situation, when your back's to the wall and your season is on the line, that's not the time to face a Cork team, I think, coming off a win. And I think even listening to Philly McMahon on a podcast this week and even reading the Dublin press, they do expect Dublin to win, but they are wary of this Cork team because they know, as I said, that this Cork team has no fear of them whatsoever. Respect them, yes, but they've no fear of them. So I'm hoping Cork build on last week's performance and give us a performance befitting the occasion and have a real rattle off them. It would be a shock if they won, yes, but not the greatest shock in the world either at the same time when you see how well they played last week.
This Dublin team can be got at as well, Ger. Do you think we can take some solace in that?
You'd like to think that, like Mark Cronin, Nemo Rangers, a guy who's not getting enough press, in my opinion, had a really good game again the last day. I guess if you're going to get at Dublin, if you're going to get at anyone in this All-Ireland Championship with the rule changes, Dan, you've got to win the middle third. You've just got to win the breaking ball. Kickouts are the foundation and the platform for teams that win championship matches this year. Last week, Ian McGuire and Colm McCallan had their best games in Cork jerseys for a long, long time, the two of them together. They were backed up by Mitchelstown, Sean Walsh, another joined in around the middle. And then you had Paul Walsh, Brian O'Driscoll and Sean Brady hoovering up possession whenever the opportunity arose. If we can get at Pater Byrne and Kieran Kilkenny in around the middle, if Cork can prevent John Small from the centre-back position bombing forward, if we can win the dirty ball in around the middle third, it will go a long way to keeping this game close. And the longer the game is close, Dan, the more doubt will creep into the Dubs' minds. If the Dubs get ahead and the confidence is open, the crowd are behind them and Paddy Small and Conor Callan are whopping over points from left, right and centre, it's going to be very, very hard to reel them in, I admit that. But the longer it stays tight and the longer Cork keep a bit of doubt in the Dubs' heads, the longer the shock might be on. It's a long shot, yes, I admit that. But I think the winning and losing of today's game, as it has been for most of the football championship this year, is in the middle third. Ian McGuire, Colm McCallan have got to win primary possession, or at least, along with Sean Walsh and Sean Brady and Brian O'Driscoll, break up the rhythm that the Dubs love to build from when they build from the back at pace. If they can do that and they can stick with them coming down the stretch, we could be in for a cracker. If they don't win the middle ground, if Dublin lord that middle third and win the majority of possession, then we could be in for a long evening. That's just the way it is.
How important is it to this Cork team to have our wing backs with scoring ability and Brian O'Driscoll and Matty Taylor? You've seen so many times they've almost saved us with a few scores this season.
It's huge because, Dan, it's a good point because, you know, it's one thing to build, you know, to sit back defensively and then hit on the break, but you've got to have the guys that can have the, you've got to have the guys that have the fitness and the cardiovascular ability to get up and down the pitch for 60 plus minutes. And Brian O'Driscoll from Carrigaline, Matty Taylor from Mallow, Cork certainly had that. And I'd even add to that Mara Shanley from Clare and Sean Meehan from Kishkame, not afraid to get forward. And what Cork tend to do is if their forwards are bottled up, they will crowd the middle and they look to go out the wings. We've seen Brian O'Driscoll kick a number of two-pointers this season. Matty Taylor has gotten in behind defences as well. And here's the other thing I forgot to mention there, Dan. With those overlaps of the wing-backs, with those forwards breaking behind them, what Cork have managed to do in most of their matches this year is create numerous goal-scoring chances. What they've not been able to do is convert them. And it's been a killer. It was a killer in the two games against Kerry, definitely against Meath. And like, even though they got whatever they got against Roscommon the last day as well, like, you can't rely on two-pointers to get you over the line. But if you've got the ability to kick them and your wing-backs, the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Paul Walsh can kick from distance, Mark Cronin and Brian Hurley can certainly kick from distance. You know, if the shooters aren't getting the possession that you want them to, you do rely on the overlaps of your cornerbacks and your fullbacks. And what will be crucial today, Dan, is that the team that kicks them, I think the more two-pointers will probably come out on top. But as well as that, there's goals in this Cork team. They've been able to create the chances this year, and I think by their own admission they just haven't converted enough of them. I don't have the statistics in front of me, but it doesn't make for pleasant reading. But with all the goal chances that they create today or this evening at Croke Park, they've got to get a couple of goals this evening if they want to win. And that's just being brutally honest. If it isn't working up front, you look to your bench. Like, Cork are blessed with a lot of good defenders. You've got like Rory McGuire, you've got Sean Powder, you've got Luke Fahey. But in the forward lines, you're going to be relying on Conor Carr. But Cathal Amanni came on the last day and did a you know, scored the last point, a real cameo. Owen McSweeney, again, all guys capable of kicking from distance. If Cork can kick enough two-pointers, if they can get in behind this Dublin defence, not an easy thing to do with Sean McMahon on the edge of the square and that guy Cluxton between the posts. If we can score a goal or two early on, the confidence will be up. But this season has shown that Cork are able to create the chances. They just haven't been able to convert the goal chances. And it would be interesting to see if they go for goal tonight, Dan, especially at the start. They're going to need a good positive start. They certainly have the shooters to do it, but can they eradicate the memory of all those missed chances in previous games? Because if Cork score a couple of goals, they'll definitely be in this game, hopefully, anyway, down the stretch.
What do you think the message will be coming from John Cleary to the group?
I think quite it'll be the same message that he probably said going out to Roscommon. We are good enough to win this game. And if everybody plays to their potential, and if Micheál A. Martin nails his kickouts, we win the middle third. We've got the guys inside like Cronin and Hurley and Chris Oak-Jones, who's due a big game. He flew out of the traps at the start of the year. And I think there's a goal or two in that guy before the season is over, hopefully tonight as well. But Cleary's message will be very clear. Look, you've got to win your own personal battles against the Dubs. You cannot let them settle into a rhythm. If you do, and they start playing and knocking it around and going at you at pace, the hill will get behind them, the atmosphere will grow. It's very, very hard to turn that around. But if Cork can get in about them, if Cork can win those 60-40 balls in between the two 45s, if they can maintain possession, kill the clock every now and again, and take the two-pointers when they come, they have every chance of being in this game down the stretch. And that's all I'm asking for, Dan. I'm asking for Cork, and I think Cleary would say the same. Be in the game with 15 minutes to go. And what have you got to lose? You know, your season's on the line, their season's on the line. And if that doubt can creep into the Dubs' minds, that's what you want. And look, on paper, on form, and what we've seen so far this year, Dublin are the favourites. And if everything goes to plan, you would expect Dublin to probably win it. But this Cork team is coming off a morale-boosting win that proved to the players, not to the fans and not to the few that follow them, but it proved to the players that they're on the right path and that the game plan that they've been implementing does work. It just requires everybody to be on it for 60-plus minutes. And I think, as well as that, just finally on that, Cleary will also tell them you've got to keep the scoreboard ticking over. Like, I think Cork only scored 1 point in the last 10 minutes against Roscommon, and that was Cathal O'Mahony who came off the bench. That won't be enough tonight. Each of the quarters, we've got to be hitting our marks and we've got to be keeping the scoreboard moving. If we don't, the Dubs will stretch ahead. But if we do, and we put a bit of doubt into their minds, we could be, I hope anyway, in for a grandstand finish.
I know the Dubs and their doubleheader, they'll probably fill out the stadium on their own, but are we expecting a good Cork crowd going up as well, Ger, from anything you've heard?
I think so, yeah. I think there's been a lot of interest from the clubs, definitely down in West Cork, and certainly where I'm from, there's been a lot of interest in it. And driving up the motorway this morning, there was definitely, even at earlier in the morning, there was a lot more Cork flags than you'd normally see if you were travelling, you know, closer to Throne. Look, I guess we've always said it, Dan, and we know it ourselves, like the Cork hurlers are the number one show. They're the showstoppers in this county. They're on course to possibly reach another All-Ireland final this year. Their games sell out. They're huge. They're box office. And living in the shadow of that is not easy. You and I both know, I think, just the triple header earlier in the year, somebody reminded of me last night when there was a ladies football game, a hurling, and a senior men's game. Remember that triple header in Super Valley Park, Cueve, earlier in the year? Mm-hmm. And the hurling game finished and all the Cork fans were filing out just as Cork and Roscommon actually were throwing in. And that's got to be soul destroying. I mean, that's got to affect you if you're a player. I know players will say it doesn't, but you're there waiting for the throne and you're seeing all these Cork fans leaving and there's only about 1,000, not even that, left when the game is going on. I think the Cork team, as I've said to you before, there's always an air of negativity around them, and until they get out of Division 2, I think it's going to stay there. Look, we're in a province with an absolutely, you know, a Kerry team led by not one now but two Cliffords, so it's going to be even harder to get over them as the years go on. Underage results haven't been great this year. It's easy to be negative about this team, but there's such determination in the group, Dan, and they do deserve a big following today for the effort that they've put in this year. It's not easy to get out of Division 2. It certainly wasn't easy to get out of that group with both Meath and Kerry in it, and we managed to do that. And look, in Daniel O'Mahony, definitely we have a potential all-star this year, I think. In Brian O'Driscoll, Matty Taylor, Sean Brady, we've got a solid centre back line, and we've just got guys that are giving every single sinew of their bodies for the Cork cause and for that jersey. And I hope there's a big crowd up here today, because you know, you both know, Dan, if Cork were to win and we were to progress in the All-Ireland Championship, you may be sure there'd be a huge demand for tickets all of a sudden all over again. But I appreciate it's expensive, and I appreciate when the hurling team is going well, you can't get to every game. But look, I hope there's a big Cork crowd here today. I think there will be, and I think they deserve it, because even though people that don't go to see them don't don't even read about them, don't realize what a good team and what a dedicated group they are. And just for John Cleary as well, because he's coming to the end of his contract, we don't know what's going to happen after tonight, or even if they win, or what happens next year. But for him and for this group that have been together now for nearly 2.5-3 years, you would like to see them put in one big performance and take out one of the big boys, because it certainly would ignite a rocket under them, and who knows where they'd go from there.
Speaking about work ethic and hard work and the same levels of dedication, what did you think about Joe Brawley's comments? I don't want to misquote the man, but basically saying that they should just get rid of Cork football altogether.
I'm a big fan of Joe Brawley. I have to put my hand up straight away. I read his column every Sunday and I laugh most of the time. He's one of the few journalists that makes me laugh out loud. Joe's coming from, he shoots from the hip. And sometimes he doesn't really, I don't think Joe cares what people think of him. I think the comments were over the top. I read the article where he was complaining that Cork were going forward and then going backwards because they just don't know what they're doing, which is completely untrue. They do know what they're doing. They have a game plan and they stick to it. But it's easy for Joe to throw the stones at a team when they're down. And as I said, not in Division 1 and not able to get up and play the big boys regularly, which I think is holding Cork football back and has held them back for a long time. Look, we haven't won in All-Ireland since when? 2010? We're not one of the, every year we're not amongst the contenders. That's just the reality of it.
It was sooner than Derry though anyway, Jar.
Well, there you go. It's easy to throw stones when things aren't going well. It's easy to make those flippant remarks. If I was a player, I'd be using it as fuel. I'd read it, I'd discard it, but I'd remember it at the back of my mind, just to prove him wrong and to show him what we actually can do. And for the people that do go to the Cork matches, senior football games, for the few supporters who stick by them through what has been a very, very rough period, both at senior and underage level, hopefully they'll be rewarded in time and that we'll push on and we'll kick on, might win a Munster and kick on from there. Joe Brawley his comments wouldn't be uncommon from other people who don't know what they're talking about when it comes to Cork football. That's what I would say. But for the people that do, I'd ignore them. I do enjoy his writing and his reading, as I said, but I'd certainly ignore those ones.
He knew well what he was doing. What he said during the week, people from Mayo suffer from an incurable genetic condition, MHOS, Mayo Hopeless Optimist Syndrome. So the Cork footballers aren't the only ones getting it anyway with Joe.
No, they're not. And Joe tends to send a volley up there, not just one, it's usually a couple of counties. And sure, look, it all helps the reading and draws attention to his articles, and maybe that's not a bad idea. Maybe I should start doing the same.
If I follow one for myself, sure, I'll some of the heat from the Limerick fans, I wish I didn't at times, in fairness. Looking at the Cork match here, they're probably just about to throw in by the time this is going out. What are the key matchups going to be for the game?
Well, I suppose the big one for me is Mark Cronin in the forward line, and who picks him up? Will it be David Byrne or Theo Clancy for the Dublin defence? I think Cronin is key to Cork tonight. He's a free taker, he's been knocking over points, but he's been involved in the build up. That's going to be huge. I said it, I'm going to repeat myself here, but Pat O'Byrne and Kieran Kilkenny in the middle for Dublin and Ian McGuire and Colm O'Callaghan in the middle for Cork. Who wins that battle will dictate a lot of who gains. We'll build the foundation for the eventual winners. And I suppose as well, look, when you look at that Dublin forward line, Paddy Small, Conn O'Callaghan, Daniel O'Mahony versus Conn O'Callaghan would be worth the entrance fee alone, Dan, if Daniel O'Mahony is the one picking him up, because he's had Clifford twice this year. Daniel O'Mahony done really well on him. All the marquee forwards for the opposition, he's the guy that's been tasked with them, and he's done a fantastic job. And I would also say, even though they don't mark each other at opposite ends of the ground, Stephen Cluxton's kickouts and his success rate, as with Micheál A. Martin, his success rate, that is going to be the key thing for Cork. Can they gain traction in the middle of the pitch? Can they win their own kickouts? Can they grab a few of the dubs? Can they upset the Dublin rhythm from at source, and don't let them generate all those attacks, wave after attacks, and bring the crowd into it? Try and keep the crowd out of it for as long as we can. And I think, there's matchups all over the pitch, but I certainly think the two goalkeepers will have a huge role tonight. I certainly think the middle of the park, where there's a set of midfielders, where there'll probably be five or six players from each team crowding the kickouts, who wins there will dictate who wins out in the end.
All right, lastly, Jar, you're giving us a bit of hope anyway.
I am, absolutely. And I'm not basing it on blind optimism either. I'm basing it on what I've seen with my own eyes this year. Cork have steadily improved. Are we all earned champions in waiting? Absolutely not. Are we capable, if we play to our absolute limit and the absolute optimum, of causing an upset tonight? I think we are. I really think we are. But if we let Dublin get ahead and if we don't stop, and you know, if they build up an early lead with the crowd that'll be behind them, it's going to be a long, long night. But if they stick with them, win a bit of traction in midfield and pick off their scores over the four quarters, I honestly think Cork are capable of being in this game coming down the stretch the last 10-15 minutes. I hope I'm right, I hope I'm not wrong and that it's a long evening, but I think the performance against Roscommon and just the general increase and improvement of performance over the years, over this year, as I said, it's not all Ireland Championship winning form, but it's certainly form that if everybody plays to their potential and if the game plan works, there is a shock in this Cork team, and it will be a big shock, I admit that. But I think if they're there with 10-15 minutes to go, it's anyone's game. Hopefully we will be there with 10-15 minutes to go.
Hopefully, Joe McCarthy, hopefully we'll be celebrating one Dublin win and one Dublin loss down here in Cork tonight. So appreciate it. Enjoy the game.
I will. I'll tell the Limerick fans you're asking for them. Take it easy.
Thanks, sir. Well, I can tell you the latest from Croke Park is Cork no score to Dublin's 2 points. But again, that's only just after throwing in with 4 or 5 minutes on the clock there, so we won't get too worried just yet. And of course, the Dubs may be doing us a solid knocking them record of championship. But look, elsewhere in LGFA action, Cork beat Mayo in the TG Carr All-Ireland Senior Championship at full-time in McHale Park. It finished 3-8 to 1-10, and Rory Noonan of The Echo was kind enough to send us the audio from his chats with manager Joe Carroll and Sarah Leahy.
Joe, obviously, as we're talking after the match here, you've just heard the draw for the next round of the quarterfinal championship. Cork face Dublin. Looking forward to that one already, or is it...
I was sure, Rory, I suppose, about a couple of minutes ago, with 3 points up, I'd have taken anyone at all. Didn't matter the difference who it was. Look, any of the teams atop the group were going to be difficult teams to beat anyway, so it was immaterial, really. So, look, we'll just have to get ourselves ready for 2 weeks against Dublin. An exceptionally good team, and we're going very well. I suppose maybe they drew with Waterford away from home, though, and, you know, they won the Leinster Championship as well, so we'll have a good bit of work to do to beat them.
Obviously, Cork and Dublin have had many big battles over the years. None other, but this will be another one.
Sure, look, there's great history going back over many years from the time of the All-Ireland final that Dublin had it won at half-time and were well up with maybe 15, 20 minutes to go that Valerie Mulcahy was involved in, and Cork came from behind, and there's great tradition in it, and Dublin, I suppose, took over from Cork there. So after that, like, so look, we'll just look forward to it now in 2 weeks' time.
Before we talk about the match, one of your players, unfortunately, Seán Kelly, got a nasty injury there in the first half. Obviously, probably too early to say too much about that, but she's been looked after. Is she okay?
Yeah, she's been looked after. Look, I don't have any update on it. Obviously, she was taken away in the ambulance, so we'll find out as soon as we possibly can now from when the things settle down here.
Your thoughts, Joe, on the game itself? Goals probably in the first half were crucial scores, and even the one in the second half probably when Mayo were coming back at you.
Yeah, the goals were crucial scores. I suppose we felt in the first half that we started fairly well, played fairly well, but I thought we rushed the play a small bit, and we got our kicks blocked down a few times and took a few shots with ball going into the goalie's hands and things like that we needn't have, you know, and that's something we need to work on. We were a bit better at it in the second half, and I suppose there was a period there where we were well in control, and then we conceded the goal again. Like, Mayo had a tactic of pumping the ball in high, and it worked to 7-8. It was difficult, but their full forward is 6-2 or 3, with like Lee McHale Longo himself, and it's difficult to curb that. But look, we got there in the finish.
Were you very conscious of the start of the second half in particular, after what happened against Kerry last week, Joe? You know, something like this, you couldn't afford to let happen here again today, and you didn't, to be fair.
Yeah, well, we spoke about it at halftime in the dressing room versus Kerry, and I suppose we spoke about it again today, and we vowed that it wasn't going to happen straight after halftime, because we were going to keep ourselves in the game. And like the last against Kerry, I suppose, we were in the game, even with 10 minutes to go, we were 5 minutes to go, we were only down 4 points. But like, if we hadn't conceded one or two of the goals right after our time, it would have given us a better chance. And I suppose today we were very conscious of that, and maybe we were a bit defensive maybe at the start, and we invited Mayo on to us a small bit too much.
Looking at obviously the last couple of minutes of the match, when they did get their goal, a bit nervous time again for you in the corner.
Yeah, a bit nervous, but look, we responded well and we got a good point down the field again, and I suppose we held on to the ball, and I think the fresh legs off the bench or subs that came in, I thought they all had an impact, you know, every single one of them. They got on ball, they held the ball open, they were full of running, which we wanted them to do, and we were delighted with that.
Obviously a quarter point to look forward to, no decision on 2 weeks time.
Yeah, Josh, I'm delighted. This gives us another 2 weeks, like, otherwise you'd be looking at, as Paddy Palmer used to call it, Longo the Slan, that tournament where we'd be in relegation trouble, and that's where Cork ladies football wanted to be. So we'll see what we get out of the year now, like, and we have a major job to try and beat Dublin, but at least we have it to look forward to rather than looking at something else.
Thank you very much.
Sarah, obviously, we always knew it was going to be a tough match up there. It was that. but she came through into the quarterfinals. Nice place to be.
Absolutely. No, we're very, very happy with where we are now. Very, very difficult game, as we knew it would be, but we're delighted with the result.
The goals, obviously, were crucial. Two in the first half. The second half, Katie's goal came at a time when Mayo started to kind of maybe get a bit on top and kind of killed them off a little bit and drove you forward again.
Yeah, sure. We were delighted at the back that they were getting the goals now. It was lovely to see. And, you know, look, they were so good at finishing up front, and it really helped us get over the line today, thank God.
But obviously, as you said, like, you know, when you're watching the goals from the full back position going in, you know, defensively Cork had to be strong today. They were, and you know, the whole team, I suppose, from the front to the back, put in a massive effort, but really the back six had a huge effort to put in.
Yes, no, it was a huge effort, you know, on the back of the game last week. We really needed to focus on our defending, you know, and trying to keep those goals and those scores out. So overall, we're quite happy with how it went today.
We're maybe conscious of how the second half went against Kerry. The great first half against Kerry, the second half went against you know, coming into this match, was it all about the 60 minute performance rather than the 30?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think in the league final, and obviously last week in the Kerry game, you know, we needed to focus on how we were preparing at half time and stuff to come back out with the same energy and to replicate our first half performance. And look, we're happy with how we did that today as well. So we'll hopefully keep improving on that aspect.
Obviously, we can't have to discuss one of your fellow defenders got a nasty injury in the first half. You were close to it. Hopefully she's okay. Probably too early to say at this stage.
Yeah, no, she's being taken great care of, you know, by the medical staff, so hopefully she'll be okay. You know, it's a credit to her because she's constantly putting her body on the line, and those injuries, you know, they come with the game, but you know, hopefully she'll be okay now.
Another player who put her body on the line today around the place as well, and how she didn't go off injured, was a miracle, was Shauna Cronin.
I know, the two of them now throwing themselves on, you know, on the line, and you know, that's a credit to them and their defence, and that's what, you know, as much as the scores and the goals up front, those kind of tackles, you know, that helps us push us over the line as well.
In the second half as well, you went down to 14 for 10 minutes. You actually outscored them in that time, which I thought, like, you know, showed how well how confidence was going through the team that stage and how you coped well with that.
You know, that resilience and stuff and that focus was very good, and we're happy with that. It's always very difficult to go down to 14, but we set up quite well in the back, so we're happy with that.
For now, we can relax and know you're into the quarter final. I look forward to that.
Absolutely. Long road ahead now, but we're very happy with how it went today.
Huge thanks to Rory Noonan of The Echo once more for sending us the audio of his chats with Joe Carroll and Sarah Leahy after their TG Carr All-Ireland Senior Championship win over Mayo in McHale Park earlier today. And that's all we have time for here on the first half here on the Big Red Bench. Be sure to stay with us for a second half with all the reaction from the Lions' loss to Argentina last night. The BAM. Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Go Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half an hour. Things going from bad to worse in the Cork City front at the moment. A 4-1 loss to Shamrock and Tallaght Stadium last night. Very poor performance all round. And here's manager Ger Nash speaking to LOI TV and Virgin Media after the game.
Ger, all the best laid plans and all that. You get yourselves ready to go up to take on the league leaders, and then you're behind inside 4 minutes. Not easy.
No, it was obviously a dreadful start. And straight away it put us on the back foot. We couldn't have a worse start. Hugely disappointing, and it obviously put us on the back foot. And we... you know, it was compounded obviously by the second goal, which was probably a really key goal, and that spell, which is a huge issue that we have to address.
And yet it seems to be a microcosm of your entire season. There was a couple of really bright moments in that first half. Your front two were combining really well, drew one good save from the Rovers goalkeeper. It's been the story of your away form in particular, conceding lots but creating chances.
Yeah, the story is a story, and we have to change it. It's really simple. We can talk about that, and you know, it doesn't make me feel any better. It doesn't make me coach feel any better. We have to deal with key moments in games, so the same things will keep happening. So I have to change that. I'm responsible for it. I pick the team. I select the tactics. I put the players out there. So I have to look at myself, but absolutely everyone in that dressing room has to look at themselves as well.
So how do you see the next few weeks unfolding? Obviously, the games are coming thick and fast. Big matches still to come, starting on Monday night at home. But the transfer window as well is going to be very important, particularly with three or four boys scheduled to leave the club after their loan periods expire.
Yeah, we're in a really key moment. We're in a tough time, but it's a key moment. We have to be together. But We have potential for change. We have potential for change in terms of people we bring to the club. We've already made one signing. There's doubt about areas, absolutely. But I can tell you we're working really, really hard behind the scenes in terms of putting the best squad together to fight for this club for the second half of the season.
Thanks for coming out to speak to us. Really appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah, and the Cork City front, 20 games gone in this season, sitting in last place now, 13 points, 2 behind 9th place Sligo Rovers. 9th place, of course, in the League of Ireland Premier Division table, gets you a playoff relegation scrap against the winner of the playoff in the First Division. So, badly need signings in the door. Will we get them? Look, we'll wait and see in the Cork City front, but big, big changes needed. To another side who lost last night, and was the Lions, who played Argentina up in the Aviva. Atmosphere, I was there, I was lucky enough to be there, was absolutely amazing. Here's Bundy Aki speaking to the media following the side's loss.
Look, we were obviously disappointed. It wasn't the result we were after. But I think, you know, it's full credit to Argentina, you know what I mean? They're a great side. We won't take that away from them. They played unbelievably well, and, you know, yeah, we have to learn quickly from here and bounce back quickly.
You've been on Lions tours, you know how it works. How bigger an issue is losing the first game?
I wouldn't say it's an issue. It's just, you know, we just got to learn quickly as a group, do you know what I mean? There's no better players in the world in Europe here, in this group here, that can learn quickly from the things that was played out today on the pitch. So I think you can feel the frustration and deflating of the boys in the change room. But look, we'll just take it on the chin, whatever the coaches are throwing at us. Move on, learn on, and then bounce back against another great alpha team, which will be Western Force.
Plenty of former players have been on social media already going, do you know what, losing your first game, why not turn out to be the worst thing in the world? Is the important thing is you actually now take this on into the Force game, into the Reds game, and actually use the negatives as positives going forward?
Look, I think we first set out a challenge for us to try and win every single game, do you know what I mean? And to be able to not come out with the result that we wanted in the first game, look, it's one of those things that we just got to learn quickly, and the quickly we learn as a group, and the quickly we can bounce back as a group, you know what I mean, and try and get better every single day, that's only going to make us stronger and as a better tight group. So yeah.
And just finally, how weird was it seeing a completely red stadium this evening?
You know, it was unbelievable. It's honestly unbelievable. I don't think the fans fully understand how much it means to us, you know what I mean, as a group of players. Being able to run out on that pitch and be able to see a sea of red is something phenomenal out there. You know, I generally got goosebumps when I ran outside and saw the sea of red out there, and honestly, it's unbelievable. It's actually unreal compared to what we had the last time, which was no fans. So, you know, honestly, it's thanks to the fans for actually pulling up and being able to support us. So, yeah.
Bundy, what was the message from Andy? We've seen him a lot in press conferences over the years, and he was particularly forthright speaking to us. Was he the same speaking to you?
Yeah, yeah, you know Fez. I'm sure you guys see Fez and interview him a lot more. He's exactly the same way as he is in front of you guys and to us. He gives it to us straight. Do you know what I mean? There's no mucking around or no hiding. He'll just tell you how it is. And we're old enough to be able to take it on the chin and learn from it quickly. There's no point trying to sulk about it. You're going to be able to take it on the chin and move on quickly as a group.
Are you confident that you'll be able to iron out those creases over the coming weeks?
Yeah, look, that's the great thing about rugby, isn't it? There's always another couple of days where we'll be able to try and rectify what was wrong today. So, I'm sure we'll bounce back quickly as a group, train harder and learn from it quickly and go from there.
And just finally for me, how did it feel scoring a try in front of a home crowd at the Aviva as well?
I think the hard work was done by the front five there and the backs were over. I just got the ball and I was lucky enough to be able to cross the line. I think Freema was giving me a bit of grief there. I should have passed it to him. So, it's always nice to be able to cross the line. But, yeah, it would have been even better if we got the win.
Bundy, how excited are you to keep working this partnership with Sione in the centres, and what elements sort of his game did you enjoy being out
today? I think we all know how Sione is as a player. He's bloody class, and I think the frustrating about me was I wasn't able to connect well with him, do you know what I mean? He's an unbelievable player, and there's no excuse for it. We, you know, we just got to get better as a partnership going forward. Whoever it is, Gary, Huey, Elliot, that came on, you know what I mean? As a unit and as a mini group, we just got to make sure we gel together and we try and get that cohesiveness fairly quick because, yeah, we just need to be better.
Nara spoken quite a lot in the week about how you guys have been doing quite a lot off the field, and yourself and Sione, how have you guys been doing some different bits and bobs like that?
Yeah, it's been good. It's actually been funny. He's been my roomie lately, so he snores a fair bit at the moment, so he keeps me up at night. But yeah, no, he's been great. He's a great man. He, you know, he speaks out loud, which is good because that's what we need. Him being by, being himself, and I just feed off him, and he feeds off me. So it's brilliant. So we just got to be better at it and keep learning together. The more we grow as a partnership and then as a group, you know, it'll only be better and beneficial for the group.
Sorry, you talked about how special it was that Sea of Red. Was it extra special that it was here in Dublin this time?
Yeah, you know what I mean, it's always nice. You can't beat it. I genuinely just can't beat it, and then be able to hear them sing Fields of Athlone Rye, you know what I mean, it's nice, and be able to hear the loud cheers and everything, it just means a lot. Like I said, it just, compared to the last Lions tour we had, it was just empty and you could just hear yourself shouting. It's quite nice to be able to hear the fans shouting for you, so lovely.
Amazing. And was there a sense of nervousness coming in today with the amount of people still to kind of enter into the match day squad? Is there a sense of pressure that you have to perform to maybe be picked again in the coming games?
I wouldn't say pressure, it's just, you know, like the group of 38, 48 players, you know what I mean, to be able to pick from four different countries. You obviously got to make sure you perform, you know what I mean, because every single player that's been picked in the squad is to be able to do a job. And if you don't deliver, there are guys that, you know, are willing to put their hand up and be able to take that opportunity. So this is not sort of pressure, it's just one of those ones you got to make sure that if you get the opportunity to wear the red jersey, you wear and do everything you can to the best of your ability. So, yeah.
Bundy, Killian from Counter-Rock here. Just as you see yourself being in the line before and stuff, and you see the younger guys like Pollock and Freeman and stuff coming through, do you feel like you've taken on a bit of a figurehead role in the team room? Or do you feel like the same as always, just stay in more Bundy, or do you feel like really you're trying to take the guys under your wing a bit?
Nah, look, you know, I mean, I think the guys are, I think Tyke said in the beginning of the week, you know, you've earned the right to be there, you know what I mean? You've earned the right to be in the squad because of the way you play and the way you perform. I think guys are well professional enough to be able to, you know, be on their own, be on their feet and be able to stick together and be themselves. I'm just a person that's just, you know, just mingle and have fun with the other boys and make them feel themselves. So, yeah, no, I think those younger boys are, you know, are lovely, and they find their own way to try and annoy us.
You've been finding a good crack, so you think?
I have. We've been trying to hide Bill, but he's been holding them tight at the moment, so yeah.
Who do you think out of all of, I guess, the newer generation coming in, is there anyone that really stands out that's like real, I guess, yeah, as I was saying, figurehead, that someone's really stepped up, kind of surprised you how kind of vocal they are inside the camp?
I wouldn't say surprised, you know what I mean? Like I said, they've earned the right to be there, you know. It's not a surprise to be able to see them speak up, because obviously they've performed very well, they've performed in important and big games, you know what I mean? And, you know, guys are just, I think they're just thriving. The younger guys are just, you know, picking up the pace. Obviously Elliot's the oldest, so we just got to try and keep along with those younger fellas, so yeah.
News for fans of the Cork footballers. There's been a goal in Croker and it has gone to the Rebels. Chris Oak-Jones with the goal there. So Cork currently lead in Croke Park 1-3 to 5 points. Will there be two upsets rather on the cards today in Croker? It would be absolutely incredible for Cork GA and Bo Codes if it did. If it were to happen, but look, we live in hope. The Dubs are a mighty football team. Cork City women's team in action in Tallaght Stadium at the moment. They've gotten the goal back. Eva May in the goal, so it's currently 2-1 there. Behind one, hopefully they can get a result in their SSC Women's Premier Division clash. From the Viva last night, we also have press conference audio from Lions coach Andy Farrell and captain Mauro Tauge.
Tough game, you got one.
Yeah, we made it a tough game, didn't we? Yeah, I mean, obviously the first and appropriate thing to say is congratulations to Argentina. They thoroughly deserve to win the test match. I thought they capitalised very well on the back of quite a few errors from us, obviously, so congratulations to them, and I'm sure that's a big moment in Argentina history.
They are the fifth best side in the world against a very good scratch side, but effectively a scratch side. So actually, 4 points difference. I mean, where do
you look, you know, you can try and throw it all around and say, you know, we had plenty of opportunities and we should have done better to convert that. But, the whole story of the game is that we compounded too many errors and in the end wasn't able to put the pace on the game that we wanted to because of that.
Is it simple as familiarity time together?
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't give that excuse. It's, you know, we need to be better than that, you know. It is what it is. It's the Lions players, good players coming together. Of course, we ask a lot of them, and maybe we put too much pressure on the side because it certainly looked like we was a little bit disconnected at times. But look, I mean, we'll review what we said we was going to own, and then, you know, we need to make sure that we get something positive from that because it's all about how we move forward.
Speaking of positive, what were the positives as far as you were concerned this evening?
I think some people, some players will have done themselves proud and, you know, they'll be hurting for the team because they're all team players, but some people will be happy and obviously others won't and be dying to get another chance out there. But look, we know where we're at. We're underway, so we've got to learn a lot of lessons from that.
Mara was captain. Just some thoughts on the evening and the game itself.
Well, with regards to the evening, it was a spectacular occasion. I thought the fans were amazing. I think they gave us a glimpse of what to expect in Australia. And in terms of the game, it was, you know, just reiterating what Andy just said, we gave ourselves numerous opportunities, but we weren't accurate enough at times, and we probably weren't consistent enough in terms of piling pressure on Argentina.
A couple of lineouts looked a little clunky, maybe that's the best word for it. You're supposed to be out there. What did you put that down to?
I think we're just finding our rhythm. Unfortunately, we couldn't get it quite as smooth as we wanted it to today. But, you know, we'll definitely get better. We'll review, we'll learn the lessons, and we'll get better.
As Andy just said, it's line-outs, because there's lots of moving parts to line-outs. It's far more complicated than just throw, lift, catch, whatever. Is that something that is going to come with time?
I think as we improve our relationships, as we spend more and more time together training and understanding each other's triggers, that will come. So it's just, no excuses. We should have been better today. We should have been more accurate today. But as with other areas of the game, we'll learn and get better together.
Andy, just finally, obviously get on the plane tomorrow. We've had bumps and bruises through it. We saw James and Gibson Park at the community event this morning, running, sprinting. Is everyone where they need to be able to get on the plane tomorrow, that there are no significant injury issues?
Yeah. I mean, health-wise, we seem to have come through okay. A few lads cramping, which says quite a bit of where we're at. But other than that, it looks all good, unless somebody wakes up with an injury, which he obviously can do. But on that front, it looks all good.
I think what sort of response do you want to see from your players, which you touched on Friday?
Well, obviously a better whole round performance. I mean, you can single out one thing, but it's not just one thing. It's a compounding of quite a few bits. You know, I mean, the amount of balls that we threw blindly, either to the opposition or on the floor, you know, is probably a standout. But then, if you combine that with the kicking game, the aerial battle, and what is disappointed is, you know, scraps on the floor from that type of battle, it all always seemed to go to Argentina. So there's a bit of fight and hunger from them that we can't accept. And then you combine some stuff at the breakdown, or whether it be the line-out or whatever. And it's too much. It's too much. When it all comes together, it's just compounding, isn't it? And, you know, there's a reason why people do get cramp or look a bit tired and not able to capitalise on opportunities that you have created. It's because probably subconsciously you're suppressing yourself a little bit with the compounded errors. So it obviously needs to be addressed.
It would be easy to sugarcoat this and write it off as first game on this sort of stuff, but you're clearly not doing that. Is that the kind of message you're giving to the players as well?
Oh, we won't sugarcoat anything. We need to be honest, because if we're not honest, then how do we gain trust with each other? So we have to say it as it is. And, you know, there are certain things that we said we were going to do. We need to own that and review that properly.
Andy, now that the first game's out of the way, how have you spent these last couple of weeks? And how different
has I had that been? Out of the way. You know, and like, honestly, like, yeah, losing hurts. Losing hurts, especially in this jersey, you know. So we need to find the solutions pretty quickly, be honest with ourselves, because there has to be some good come from this.
How have that found these last 2 weeks, and how different has it felt to say starting a campaign in Six Nations or some series of art?
Well, look, it's obviously been very different. Lads coming in, you don't quite know who is coming in, and then when people come in, you deal with that, and obviously, you know, the finalists coming in after that, and you've effectively got two sets of players that are on completely different timescales, etc. But that's the nature of what's ahead of us as well. You got to deal with the jet lag first and foremost, but then the games come thick and fast, so it's never going to be what we used to. So over the last couple of weeks, I think that sets us in good stead as far as the rhythm or lack of it.
Chris, we're going to take a few embargoed written questions now within the time, seeing as we're kind of just going through it. Or do you want to just keep it all live? Keep it all live?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ali, you kind of maybe left the door open when the squad got announced for maybe a couple of more additions. So I was kind of wondering, before you guys fly out, are you thinking of anything like that? Maybe adding anyone else, any more players to the squad before you head off to Australia?
We'll review that this evening and in the morning and see where we're at. But, you know, we don't need to be just gung-ho with that. We need to see what happens along the way. As we know, history tells us there's always something that happens on these type of tours.
And you'll be kind of looking for some positives as well, but maybe good for kind of something like Finn Smith, who kind of had a decent game, to kind of get like a full game under his belt as well with those lads. Kind of, that's going to stand to him, isn't it?
One of the reasons I'm gutted is because there's 14 lads that's getting the cap for playing for the British and Irish Lions for the first time, and you know there's disappointment there, but the experience will stand to them.
Scrum went quite well this evening.
It did.
Is that one element you were pretty pleased with?
It was aggressive. The lads who started the game, especially, they were aggressive and good, and had Argentina under the pump a few times. So very pleased with that.
And on that side of things as well, just in terms of one specific player, we saw the clip of you talking about Finlay Beelam earlier in the week. He was part of that really good scrum, but had to do an enormous amount of defensive work out there as well this evening.
Yeah, because of that's what happens when you make so many errors. But I thought himself and Ellis were really good today.
And to you, the attacking system looked very similar to what you're trying to do with Ireland. Could you just talk a little bit about how you thought that worked as a whole?
Clunky. I thought it created quite a bit at times, but weren't able to finish it off. Again, when you're trying to force too many passes like that, subconsciously you lose a bit of fight and a bit of edge because of that. So look, this is completely new to this side, so we expect it to be better, but we're at where we're at, so we need to address that.
whenever there was sort of a break in play, you saw Lions legends up on the TV. Do you think that the weight of the jersey might play a bit of a role today, and it will be something which people will have to adjust to?
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, it's something that goes through your mind, but you know, we've got to own that. We've got to take responsibility for that. We are the Lions. We are the British and Irish Lions. So we've got to own the right to take that jersey forward. It shouldn't be heavy. We've got brilliant players within our squad, and they need to embrace that.
Andy, they have been talking out with the players. How do you feel you did tonight?
Obviously, not good enough. I always take full responsibility. That's my role. It doesn't matter what department or whatever. I'm in charge of the job lot. So it obviously wasn't good enough, and I need to be better.
Question for Aaron, Killian Cantrock here. I'm just wondering, Captain England, club size as well. How does it feel like stepping out today, Captain of the Lions? Is there anything different? How does it feel like gelling all the players, I guess, together, coming from different sides? What's that like for you?
No, it's been, and it was, a complete honour. To be in this position is, you know, I'm really humbled by the role, and I feel very fortunate to be here. But ultimately, it's not really about me. It's not about my and my personal ambition. What is most important is the team and getting results for the team.
And do you think there's a mindset change in going in, trying to gel everyone together in a team and the Lions, as far as like the England camp?
As I said during the week, you know, every team presents its own different challenges and opportunities. With the Lions, you have probably a higher quality of player, you have a probably more experienced player, and fortunately with the Lions, which perhaps, not to say is not the same, but it's probably heightened with the Lions, everyone's desperate to be here, everyone wants to be here, so everyone wants to socialise, everyone wants to engage with other people, so hopefully that will put us in good stead for the future.
So Andy, obviously it's quite downcast tonight, but just thinking back to when you were 16 year old making your debut for Wigan against Keighley, could you ever imagine that this is where things would end up?
Where are you from?
Keighley.
I love Keighley. Probably not as a 16-year-old, though, is the truth to it. But there's been plenty of water that's gone under the bridge since then.